calling you. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What does it really mean to be part of the body of Christ, the Christian church? What have your experiences been like? For some, they have been wonderful. For others, painful, to the point of deep resentment, to the place of silent rage, cloaked in the fabricated calm like the smooth surface of land which overshadows the slow rumble of a volcanic eruption. If you are a new believer in Jesus Christ, you may sense the warm excitement of new beginnings. For others, you may have experienced the reality that the church is comprised of fallible followers of Jesus and must not and cannot be mistaken as heaven. But in spite of all this, could it be that God is at work in ways we cannot see? Today, we draw back the curtain to get a glimpse of what God may be doing in you, around you, and in the life of your church. As usual, we like to pause at the beginning of our show just for a moment to remind you that the reason we have this show, the Good Life Hawaii Radio broadcast, is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. That it doesn't matter what you're going through right now. I mean, it may be a gargantuan situation that you feel like you just cannot overcome. You may feel tremendously overwhelmed, but in the midst of that, whatever the challenge might be, we're here to remind you that God knows you and He loves you. And that love is so great that He can help you and carry you through the situation that you might be facing. From the inside out, there's healing and restoration for you. Deanna Rutledge is a pastor's wife, a mother, teacher, and a longtime resident of Hawaii. Her style is warm, vivid, and character-driven. Her great passion is to bring to life through her books the God she knows so well, a God of great mercy, tender compassion, and infinite love. She is the author of the new book, Random Souls, warm, wise, and absolutely wonderful. Deanna is married to Bill, Pastor Bill. He's the pastor of worship and prayer at Kalihi Union Church. They have one son, Jay, and she's in studio with us today as our featured guest. Deanna, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you, Danny, for that wonderful introduction. I'm really pleased to be here today.
Deanna, congratulations. First and foremost, congratulations on your new book.
Thank you.
You know, it's a monumental task, a real milestone moment for anyone who has had the courage to take a vision of inspiration from God and to take it to the form of what I'm holding in my hands. And I love this cover. I hear that somebody very special helped in the design of it.
That's right. My husband designed the cover, and he did a wonderful job.
He surely did. Deanna, you know, it's a thing we have here in Hawaii. People like to know where people grew up, where their background is,
what their background is exactly.
So tell us, where did you grow up?
Well, actually, I grew up in East Baltimore, And that was a very unique place because of all of its ethnic boroughs. Mm-hmm. My grandparents on my father's side came over from Poland in the early part of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And like many immigrants, they settled in a neighborhood where things were familiar. You know, there was a Polish bakery, there was a Polish newspaper, there was a sundries place where they could get things from home. Mm-hmm. And mainly, it was a place where their language was spoken because none of them, you know, spoke English, and where my grandfather could find work, which he did. And it was a wonderful place to grow up. When I went to school, it was like the United Nations because there were people just from all over the globe.
Sounds a little bit like Hawaii.
It was a wonderful preparation.
God was preparing you.
Yeah, it was. Once you get a taste of the multi-ethnic, you know, uh-huh. the richness of that of that culture, it's really hard to settle for something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What stood out about multi-ethnicity?
Oh, it was just the drama of it. You know, how you could do ordinary things, and yet it would be extraordinary because there was this other dimension. Mm-hmm. When you went to a friend's home for a meal, it would be something extraordinary because it would be something that I'd never eaten before. Mm-hmm. And people were always, you know, talking another language, which was kind of interesting and exciting. So I learned a lot about the world and the fact that there were many people in it, and each of them had something distinct, mm-hmm. you know, in their culture.
You know, what a rich upbringing to be exposed. Really, in some ways, it sounds like the world came to you.
Exactly.
In that respect.
Exactly. And it was just a really, really special place.
Mm-hmm. So, growing up, you're around people. Who would you say influenced you most in those growing up years?
Well, it would have to be my teachers at school. Mm. In the Baltimore public schools, when I was very young, we didn't have very good teachers at the time in East Baltimore. With such an immigrant population, the teachers were that way too. So those schools weren't especially, you know, educationally, they weren't top-notch. But I was very fortunate that when I was in high school, we went to the Delaney Valley, which is a very up-and-coming area. Mm-hmm. So I hate to say this, but it was sort of like in the school that I left from East Baltimore, in English, we were studying the equivalent of See Spot Run. And then I get to high school in Delaney Valley, and we're studying Aeschylus and Sophocles and Euripides. So it just allowed me to an entry into this wonderful world of literature that I had not experienced before. Mm-hmm. And that's when it really started for me, the whole interest in literature. And eventually, of course, I became an English teacher and mm-hmm. taught English literature and began writing myself.
Well, we definitely want to talk about writing and literature and books. And I can just tell by talking with you and seeing the glow on your face that suddenly when you speak about words and writing, your eyes light up, your face brightens. But there's also something else that you experienced in the years of your life, having to do with a journey, a spiritual journey. How did you take us back on your spiritual journey? How did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, my journey was rather peculiar. I use that word about some of the characters in my book. They're peculiar. Mm-hmm. And my journey was rather peculiar, too. I was raised Catholic. Now, before I say anything else about that, I want to be sure that you realize that I am not casting aspersions on the Catholic Church by anything that I say. I have many friends who are Catholic and have a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But my own experience was a little peculiar. As I said, we grew up in this Eastern European section of East Baltimore. And our particular neighborhood kind of bumped up against the Italian section of town. Mm-hmm. So my father was Catholic, and he raised me Catholic. And when we went to Mass one Sunday, the Mass was in Latin, but the sermon was in Italian. Mm-hmm. So obviously, since I didn't speak either language, I didn't get a whole lot out of going to church, per se. However, there was a wonderful drama and the ambiance of the church back then, the churches that we went to. It was like coming out of the world into a very special place that only mm-hmm. existed there. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the fact that the ceilings were painted to look like heaven with angels, and there was statuary everywhere. The priest vestments, the acolytes, the incense, you know, it was just such a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere. And I learned from that that there was a God, despite the language barrier, mm-hmm. and that we were supposed to be very reverent before him. Anyway, my family moved us out of the neighborhood, as I said. But when I got to high school, I stopped going to church entirely, and I began this spiritual odyssey that you're talking about. I graduated from high school, went to Europe for a few years, during which time I did not meet one single Christian person. It was very interesting. I came back, got a college degree. Okay, but then by a rather strange quirk of fate, I found myself in Virginia for a period of time as working as a freelance soloist for churches. That's because back when I was in Baltimore, we had Peabody Conservatory, perhaps you've heard of it, and anybody could go there on Saturdays and take lessons. So I took voice and piano, and I developed my voice to where I could work as a soloist. Anyway, I stayed at one church for several weeks because they were doing some kind of musical presentation. And at one point, the pastor came to me, and we had this conversation. Now, I don't remember how long the conversation was. All I remember is it was very short. And he said to me, well, you know, it's a Baptist church. Have you been baptized? Well, I was sprinkled. Well, that didn't count. Have you made a profession of faith? And I'm like, profession of faith? I don't know what he's talking about. So he said, well, you know, if you die tonight, where would you end up? So he convinced me that I had to accept Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, well, of course I accept Jesus. I know who Jesus is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How hard could it be, right? So we did this kind of little theological two-step, and I must have pushed all the right buttons because it's like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'll come forward next Sunday and make this profession of faith, whatever this is, and everything will be fine. So the next Sunday, incredible as it seems, the service was ending. The organist was playing Just As I Am several times. And it was a big church, and it was kind of packed. And a few people did go forward, but they were so far in front of me that I couldn't see what was going on. Anyway, at some point, he caught my eye, and I walked down the aisle very confidently, you know, because I knew what I was doing. And he said to me, he reached out his hand, and he said, why have you come? And I'm thinking, why have I come? Well, I didn't expect this question. And obviously, there was supposed to be some sort of acceptable answer to it, but mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. So being a very truthful person, I said out loud in front of everybody, why did I come? Because you told me to. this is the truth. This really did happen. And on the basis of this really feeble, extremely feeble statement of faith, I was accepted into the church. I was baptized into the church. And another kind of quirk of faith, of fate. Shortly after that, I found myself as a voice student at Southern Seminary, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, the same place that Randy and Gay Hongo went.
You know, I'm listening and I'm thinking to myself, you talk about the word peculiar, you use the word peculiar, and there are peculiarities in people's lives, quirks, uh-huh. And certainly there are some unique characteristics to your story. And the thing is, there are unique characteristics and peculiar elements in the lives of people. And somebody listening today might be thinking a peculiar thought themselves or wondering about how things would develop in their own lives. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk more about the process, the journey of faith. I want you to continue on with what took place as you came forward in this feeble way, and yet it was the beginning of a new life. Sometimes you think, wow, I feel pretty feeble myself. My situation, the way I came to Christ, the things I'm going through right now, I'm feeling pretty feeble today, at this very moment. Well, you know, God can use even feeble, peculiar, quirky situations and circumstances to bring you to Himself and to help you through some difficult times. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more from Deanna Rutledge.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Deanna Rutledge. Deanna is the author of the new book, Random Souls. Warm, wise, and absolutely wonderful. It's a heartwarming, uplifting book. A must read for anyone in the local church. It's a story that the Lord has given to her, but it comes out of, you know, the Lord inspires people to write things that are relatable, understandable, but it comes out from her own experience as she's telling us about her journey of faith. Before our break, she was at church. She was prepared to make a decision for Christ. And she comes forward and the pastor says, why have you come forward? And she says, because you told me so. A little quirky, a little peculiar. By the way, if you're just tuning into our show and you're thinking, okay, I'm catching this part of it, you say, but how do I get the rest of the show? Well, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. And also, when you go there, you can look at various other resources that we have on our website to help enrich you, to help you along in the daily challenges that you face in life, thegoodlifehawaii.org. Well, Deanna, continue. Tell us more.
Okay.
What happened?
So there I end up at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And nobody thought to ever question my faith because the church had to sponsor you to go there. The thing was, I decided to go to this music school because I made a change in plans. I decided to become, of all things, an opera singer. I don't know whatever possessed me, but when I was in grade school, I wanted to be write novels, and when I was in high school, I wanted to write plays. And then I guess my time in Europe, I saw a lot of operas, so I thought, well, you know, I'll be an opera singer. So I was in the music school, and I didn't take any theology classes. So there I was, a graduate student in a Southern Baptist seminary, lost as a goose, had no idea what salvation meant. Mm-hmm. And then I met this really wonderful guy. His name was Bill Rutledge. And he was a big guy on campus. He had won all the prizes because, you know, he could literally play anything you put in front of him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we started dating. And everything was going along really well. The only thing that I had against Bill was that he had terrible taste in music. You know, the thing was, we'd be driving along, and he would insist upon listening to this thing called the Christian Music Station. Now, to me, back then, Christian music was an oxymoron, you know. He was listening to people like, I don't know, Gaither, you know, people like that. And I had never had any experience of this music, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, we're both classically trained, and unless this is the Missa Solemnis or the Bach B minor Mass, this is not, you know, Christian music. I thought it was pretty awful, tell you the truth. But mainly what bothered me was the theology of it was driving me nuts. So one day we're driving along listening to this absolutely awful music, and we stop at a red light, and I turn to him and I said, Jesus, 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 don't you believe in God? And he looked at me and he said, I think we need to have a talk. So it was wonderful that the man who would ultimately be my husband then, you know, took me aside and led me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, which I hadn't had up mm-hmm. until that time, mm-hmm. even as a seminary student.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's really sobering to hear. Part of it, Deanna, because there are probably a bunch of people in churches today that have, they know what to say, they know what the right answers are, the right responses, when to sit, when to stand, when to say the right phrases, but they don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe today, as you're listening, your journey, as it is that you know it, is sort of similar to Deanna's. Maybe that's one of the reasons why you're listening to this program. You see, sometimes when we listen, when we have a show like this, and we're just talking story, there are things that come out that you might not have even known was going to come. You didn't even know that God was going to deliver a message to you in a way that it is. And perhaps today there's a question mark even for you within the depth of your own heart about your own faith. And, you know, God is a loving God, and he sends a Deanna Rutledge here, an author, a teacher, to just share out of her own life. And here's the thing, that in spite of what you've been doing, some of you might even be leaders in the church and might not even have a personal relationship with the Lord. Well, this is a perfect time for you to just open up your heart or to go connect with somebody and just one-on-one just say, hey, you know what? I need to go back to the very basics of my faith, and just open up and let that person lead you to the Lord. I thank you, Deanna, for sharing what you've shared, because it's something that I think goes on, and a lot of people experience what you've experienced but don't know what to do next.
Right, exactly.
Now, you've written a book, this book, Random Souls. On the back, you know, I just want to pull out this, on the back of the book, this is what it reads. Pastor Jason's worst nightmare has just come true, and things are about to get worse. It isn't his fault. Aloha Community Church has a history of sexual scandal, and grace is in short supply. He's new to the church, yet he has been wrongly accused, and unless a miracle happens, he will soon be drummed out of the pastorate in disgrace. However, the random souls that meet in his living room every Friday for a study on the Holy Spirit have problems of their own. Some of them are just as urgent. Others are just downright peculiar. But they are all wondering the same thing. Where is God in the midst of all of these difficult and perplexing circumstances? They are about to find out. And in the process, they will discover love, faith, abundant joy, and what it really means to be a part of the body of Christ. Deanna, let's just breach a subject that is somewhat taboo among church folk. We all know it exists, but much of it is cloaked under the veneer of what could look like to a visitor as some sort of manufactured perfection. But it's the issue of trouble.
Trouble churches.
In the church.
Right, exactly.
Do all churches, this might be oversimplistic, but I'm setting it up. Do all churches have problems?
Well, obviously. There is no such thing as a perfect church. You know, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we say that we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves. The thing about troubled churches, why nobody talks about it, is that it is just so loaded with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Last year at the HIM conference, Hawaiian Island Ministry Conference, Logos Bookstore, they were selling books, and I was there talking to people about my book. And a lady came in, and she said, "Oh, what is this book about?" And I just made a few introductory statements. I just said, "Well, you know, it's a troubled church. People are confused. They kind of don't know where God is in the middle." And I'm just beginning to talk, and her eyes just filled with tears. And she said, "You're talking about my church." So I said, "Well, here, you know, take this book. I think it'll really help you."
Mm-hmm.
And then last weekend, Bill and I were at the Life in the Spirit conference where Jack Deer mm-hmm. was speaking. And by the way, if you've never heard Jack Deer, he's just wonderful. So I was there as well, you know, promoting my book. And I had a lady who came up to me and she said, "So would this be a good book to give to somebody who has always thinking about leaving a church because of the problems?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Oh yeah, I think this would be very helpful." And she said, "Well, give me two." So I think we can see that it's really a prevalent problem. One, you talk to any 10 people and you ask them about their church experience, and you will be surprised how many people choke up with emotion because of experiences they have. I have some stats here that I pulled out from the Francis Schaeffer Institute, and I'm quoting here. It says, "Every year, 2.7 million churches fall into inactivity. This translates into a realization that people are leaving the church. From our research, we have found that they are leaving as hurting and wounded victims. Every year, more than 4,000 churches close their doors, compared with 1,000 new church starts. And half of all churches in the U.S. did not add any new members during the last 2 years." So clearly we can see, Danny, that the church overall is experiencing problems. But here's the point. It's not just that there are financial problems or that there's academic or theological differences. It's not just because the culture today says that religion is irrelevant. And it's not just because, you know, the traditional services, we hear this all the time, traditional services, well, the kids today, they want something else. No, the cold, hard facts are that an astounding number of people leave because of the moral and ethical failure on the part of leadership, or people within the church in positions of authority who act in a way that leave others feeling betrayed or disillusioned, neglected. I'm going to use the word belittled. I think I could use the term emotionally abused, certainly mm-hmm. in that term. In other words, people within the church who do things that are wrong and downright harmful. But, you know, people say, well, hasn't the church always been this way? I mean, let's look at the early church. Didn't they have problems, too? And, of course, if you read church history, which I did as, you know, as a student, it's definitely not something for the faint-hearted. The church has always had difficulty. But the thing is, as you alluded to earlier, Danny, when people are new Christians, when they come out of the darkness into the light, they come into a church expecting that this church is going to reflect that light. They don't expect the darkness to be there in the church. And it's, well, actually, I had an experience like that myself when, right out of seminary, Bill's first church, he was a minister of music there, and I was a brand new Christian. And the people were just so wonderful. They were so nice. They were so welcoming. But after a few months, I realized something. I realized that there was a faction within the church that were meeting to oust the pastor who had been there about a decade at the time. And I was watching on Sunday morning the chairman of the deacons. He would go to the back of the church where the pastor was, and he'd shake his hand and he'd say, "Wonderful sermon, Pastor. Thank you so much." And he was the one. He was the very one who during the week was leading these kind of vigilante meetings.
Vigilante.
Yeah. So the thing was that you know, it starts small, but it grows, right? Mm-hmm. And it kept growing and growing and growing. Now, Bill and I were, we had left by that time. We were in Hawaii in DTS. But what finally happened to that church was it grew so much, the anti-feeling toward the pastor, that in the end, the church body rose up and they fired everybody. They fired the whole staff. Now, here's the point, Danny. As far as I can tell, from what Bill and I can discern, there was no moral wrongdoing. The pastor hadn't done anything that anybody could say was wrong. Mm-hmm. It was just that people in power decided to exercise that power and to use it in a very unchristian and ungodly way.
As you're sharing these things, I'm quite certain there's somebody that has bells ringing in their minds and their hearts. They're thinking, wow, that goes on even in my situation. That goes on even in my church. You know, you've written this book, Random Souls. And when we come back, I'd like for you to talk to us about the book. Share with us about how you were inspired to write it. I even want to know how you came up with the title. When we come back from our break, we'll hear more from Deanna Rutledge. She's written the book Random Souls. Talks about troubles in the church, but also healing. It also talks about the fact that even in the midst of trouble, God is still at work. And there's a lot of hope in that. You know, whatever trouble you might be facing or might be even going on in your church, God is still at work. He hasn't left you. He hasn't left the church, okay? So hang on. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Deanna Rutledge.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waihua dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinetta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. It's so good to have you with us today. We're delving into a subject that is very real. And my featured guest today, Deanna Rutledge, has written a book, Random Souls. She's talking to us about the book and how it all came to be. But you know, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants Incorporated, along with our other sponsors, enable Deanna to be here with us and to share with you the things that are being shared that'll enrich your life. See, one of the things that the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, one of the things we do, we deal with real life. We deal with the stuff that is sometimes hard to talk about, sometimes hard to express, hard to deal with in life. But we need to touch it. We need to go into that. And part of the marvel of it all is when we do, there's a healing. There's restoration that can take place. Deanna, before our break, we're talking about the book. The book, Random Souls, can be, you can purchase it at Logos Bookstore here on Oahu, or you can get it at Amazon.com. How were you inspired to write this book?
Well, it was by things that circumstances in my own life. After becoming a new Christian and having that unfortunate circumstance, Bill and I, we came to Hawaii. We went to a DTS. Mm-hmm. We came to Kona for 9 months and stayed 9 years. But we were in a wonderful church at that time, Kona Baptist Church, probably one of the best church experiences of my life. So what I'm about to say is to tell you that not all of our church experiences were negative, and I'm sure that's true of everybody. Sure. Not all of your church experiences mm-hmm. are going to be negative, but it only takes, you know, one or two. So after we left with Bob Fitz to go on an East Coast tour, and then for 6 years we traveled around the mainland and came into contact with many churches, many of whom were going through, you know, extremely difficult times. And at one point in my life, I myself was involved in a church that was going through a lot more difficulty than the church that I've written about. This was a very, very serious case, church with lots and lots and lots of problems. Mm-hmm. And there I was right in the midst of it. So I said to God, I said, you know, what is going on? And in the midst of this, and it took a while. See, that's the problem, Danny. It takes time. When you're in a situation and it's so emotional, people want an end to the pain. But God doesn't always do that. Sometimes he makes us walk through the pain, and it takes so much time. And this took a great deal of time. But in the end, here's what God showed me. He showed me, of course, my own heart. He showed me that I had given up faith, that I had given up hope, that I was so concentrated on the problems that I couldn't see God's hand, even when it was right in front of me, that I felt abandoned. And I had all of these feelings until, in his own time, the Lord kind of pulled back a curtain and he sovereignly showed me that he had never abandoned the church, not even for an instant, that he was right there with us every step of the way, and that he had a plan to get us out of these difficulties. You know, I learned that when, if God calls a church body into being to begin with, and they into existence, and they get into difficulties or moral failure, then he has a plan for that church's restoration. And restoration is something that he's actively working on, but he does it in ways that we can't always see. That's where it takes so much faith. And the fact is, as Henry Blackaby says, God is always at work. Restoration is on his heart. That's one of the messages of the cross. But then we say to ourselves, well, do we deserve it? I mean, here we are, we're in sin. I mean, this is, you know, this terrible thing is happening. Do we deserve God to do anything in our midst? And of course, the answer is absolutely not. We don't deserve anything. But again, wonderful message of the cross is grace, because in the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. And so in the midst of terrible circumstances, God, if you look for him, if you try and find him, you will see that right in the midst of these terrible circumstances, he is lavishing upon us this great favor that we don't deserve, to bring us back to what he has designed us to be to begin with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's what I try to show in my book. So,
how did you get the title "Random Souls"?
Random Souls. Well, you know, I'm an English teacher, right? That's a little literary device, mm-hmm. Situational irony, in which where we, as the reader, we know things that the characters don't know, and that's the whole point of the book. As a reader, we know that these people are not randomly put together at all. They think that they've come together randomly into this group and they all bring their problems there. But as we read, we can see that God designed it all, mm-hmm. and that he designed all the situations and he put them together sovereignly so that they could receive from him great and wonderful things that he's doing in the midst of all this terrible situation, but that also he could use each of them to help the other person, because that's how God works in a situation. He does something to us, you know, he gives us visions and insight and words of wisdom and all these things, but he also works with us in a situation and allows us to help each other.
Now, Random Souls is a fictional story written by Deanna Rutledge with many relatable, down-home, down-to-earth point situations and scenarios that could be relatable right to where you're at or some of the things that you're going through. Pastor Jason is a main character.
Right.
Give us a synopsis of what he goes through and, you know, an example of some of the things that have gone on in Aloha Community Church.
Okay, well, the situation is that he has made a wrong choice. It's not a morally wrong choice, but he's made a wrong choice, mm-hmm. a choice which he regrets. And we as the reader, we know when we read it, when we see it happening, we know the situation is going to explode in his face. We can see it coming. And it does. Wow. It explodes in his face. And then the church kind of gossip mill sort of gets a hold of it, and it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. And all of a sudden, his job is in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And things happen to him as a result that, and he's very confused. He's asking the same thing that the other people in the group are asking. You know, I'm going through this. But where is God in the midst of it? What is he doing in the midst of it? And he can't see it. Now we can, as we read it, we can see the people in the church who act as God's hands and feet, who reach out to him, who give him wisdom and to help him. We can see God sovereignly doing things in his life, but he can't because he's, you know, confused. And it's the same thing with this group of people. they each come into the group. They're sorry for Pastor Jason, but they have problems of their own. And some of these problems, you know, are very real. You know, Pua's son is out of work. He doesn't know how he's going to support his family. We have Chris, who has been given this tremendous visitation. I don't want to spoil this. In a way that he never expected the Lord to work. And he's like, is this really God? I mean, does God do this kind of stuff? You know, he doesn't understand what God's doing. And they're all questioning, you know, okay, we know that God works, but is this God? Does he do this? Is this how he works today in the church today? And again, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be the omniscient narrators in our own life, if we could step back and see the panorama of our own story in the same way we're looking at the panorama of these people's story.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, you've created a detailed microcosm of what goes on in this church, but the experiences are transcendent, where people can relate with what you've written, what's going on in the story, and at the same time, being able to see it within their own situation. I think in our time, relatability, being able to connect with someone else's experience that is similar to ours, God uses it as a point of healing and restoration.
Of course, he's always used story. And that's the idea, that somebody will read the book and think, well, if Marge had these dreams, well, maybe God will give me dreams too. Or if this person got a vision, well, maybe God will give me a vision. Or if God healed, did a major, amazing thing in that church, even though people weren't aware of it at the time, and you kind of don't see it until the epilogue of the book, and you look back and you see, well, if God could do that there, was the narrative credible enough? Did I do a good enough job of telling the story so that people could say, well, maybe it could happen in my church too. Mm-hmm. Maybe it would happen in my experience too. And that was the whole reason of writing the book.
The book is Random Souls by Deanna Rutledge. It's available at Amazon.com. If you're living on Oahu, you can get it at Logos Bookstore. When we come back from our break, we'll talk with Deanna about Christian literature and its importance in our society today. You would want to hear her vantage point on it. I think she's qualified to talk about it. She's written this new book, Random Souls. She's gotten the book published. She wrote it. It's full of relatable stories that connect with you and some of your experiences. When we come back, we'll hear more Heart to Heart from Deanna Rutledge to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Deanna Rutledge. Deanna Rutledge is an author. She's written the book Random Souls. It's a fictional story that is sprinkled with a lot of humor, especially in this area of the troubled church. She's been able throughout, in case you think that it's just going to be kind of a hard book to read because of the emotional draw that pulls out of you. It's sprinkled with warm sunlights of humor that enable you to enjoy the story as well. But, you know, in the midst of it, there's healing, there's restoration, there's understanding, deep understanding, and there's also freedom and liberty that comes in being able to look at difficult things that happen and some of the things that you've experienced. Christian literature, Deanna, why is, in your opinion, why is Christian literature so important today?
Now we need to talk about what is Christian literature. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thing. I mean, some people would say that we've always had Christian literature, that because, you know, great classics that we read in school, that you and I have read, you know, growing up, they deal with Christian themes. Let's take, for example, A Christmas Carol. We all know that. Everybody sees it at Christmas time. That's mm-hmm. a Christian theme. Scrooge is given a second chance. You know, he's forgiven of his errors.
There's redemption.
Yeah. You know, if we talk about how about The Tale of Two Cities? Everybody studied that in school. If you'll remember, Sidney Carton pretends to be Darnay, and he gets guillotined in his behalf. So that certainly, I mean, there we go. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. And we can go on, you know, to some of the others, Crime and Punishment, Les Mis, which is very popular among mm-hmm. the kids. All these, when you read them, they have Tolkien, The Ring Cycle, extremely popular. Lots of Christian symbolism and lots of Christian themes. However, I don't do that in my books. I try to write more directly, because I really think that at this day and age, we kind of don't have time for subtlety. Things are happening fast. Mm-hmm. The world is kind of spinning out of control, and all of our values are being questioned. So I think the time for subtlety, although great literature is wonderful, and I would recommend everybody to read it, there's a lot of other literature that's coming out that's marketed as Christian literature. And what that means is that in this literature, Christ and God and things are actually talked about, and you're taken into the church to see how things really work firsthand, rather than having things being symbolized.
Somebody is asking, say, hey, I'm just tuning in right now. This book, Random Souls, I mean, I'm just catching a glimpse of it. How can I get a copy of this book?
Well, I have been going through Logos Bookstore. The people at Logos are absolutely wonderful. They keep it on hand. And there are some people there that will tell you about the book if you want to talk to somebody about it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can always go on Amazon.com. They have the book on Kindle, ebook. You can get it there, too.
So you have it on ebook, too.
Right, yeah.
How do you see the publishing of Random Souls, your book? How do you see it as a ministry?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that question. You know, a lot of people write, but they question, am I ever going to get anything published? And I have a quote here, actually, by Michael Hyatt, Thomas Nelson Publishers. He says, publishers will not review any unsolicited manuscripts. I personally receive hundreds every year, and my staff receives thousands. Usually the only way to get in the door of a publishing company is through an agent. There are so many gazillions of novels being published that people think to themselves, well, I guess I'm going to have to do self-publishing, and gosh, that's so expensive. Am I ever going to get my money out of it? So here's what I'm thinking. If you're contemplating self-publishing, are you thinking of it as a business, or are you thinking of it as a ministry? Because I was with YWAM for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And what amazed me with those YWAMers, because they were so on fire for God, they would come from the ends of the earth to Kona, Hawaii. They would spend every penny that they had. They would borrow money so they could go to foreign lands and give other people the message that God had given to them. And the interesting thing was, they would come back and they would have no assurance that those seeds had been, you know, planted or any fruit came from them. But they did it because out of obedience. And so I think of self-publishing as the same way. If God has given you a message, if he's given you an insight, if he's given you an experience and said, you need to share this in this particular way, he's given you the money to self-publish, then if you look at it as a ministry, you're not going to say, well, am I going to get my money back? Mm-hmm. You're going to say, well, maybe I'll give this to the library so that the message can get out. Maybe we'll give away, you know, 100 copies of this book. And those people that I give the book away to will give that copy to other people. I think the stats are that most self-published people do this only once and they reach 300 people. Now, that's 300 sales, but that doesn't take into consideration the people they give the copies to or the library or anything else so that the message can go out. And the thing is that I think if God has given you a message, he's also given you an audience.
And that's a place where you have taken a step of faith.
A step of faith, right.
And the blessings are for those who read it. And when they pass it on, those others get blessed. And really, as you are a blessing, Deanna, you are also being blessed. You are indeed a blessing, and I appreciate you being here on our show today. In the next few days, you're going to hear more stories from people like Deanna Rutledge. Invite somebody to listen and be inspired. This program is made possible because of our financial supporters. If you want to find out more about how to join with us, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Here's the scripture for today. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. But if one part is honored, then every part rejoices with it. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest today, Deanna Rutledge. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.